we rejoice with the final offering from Sister Lian. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This one must be from the United States. You can sit anywhere. Okay, we will get ready for puja. I will on the fan first. Okay, compose your mind. Develop the faith, the sadha, virya. Then we will start the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Mila Pho Pusa. Namo Mila Pho Pusa. Namo Mila Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Okay, we will chant the Thai tradition, the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will start the puja chanting. Turn to page 4. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura meraya maja pamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sena tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dupenahang suganghina pujaye pujani yang thang puja bajana muttamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindas siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena mattena ca motu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu muttamang. Get into page 18, the last page. Vivachanda Puja Aspiration. We are understanding the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of lights to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruitions possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthens our faith and constantly reminds us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to the Triple Gem. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. we can have about half an hour meditation, just in time for the half an hour duration. So I will off the light. So those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. Remember, meditation has two aspects. First aspect is if you still have the heedlessness or the mental hindrance, your spiritual faculty are still not stable, then you need to train this mind. You can use any suitable skillful means, especially the mind sweeping method combined with metta as described in the blue book. 12 September 2013 transcript, Thursday class transcript. Then after that, you can anchor the mind to stabilize the sati or mindfulness with any of the object of meditation that you are familiar with. It can be anapanasati or any suitable, appropriate object of meditation. Then always remember, the moment you are silent without thought, you are already in sati. You don't try to do anything. Don't try to force your mind not to think. Don't try to force your mind not to note and do all those things. Just be natural, relax, silent. If the thought arises, let it arise. Because that is the nature of the heedless mind. If you don't resist it, you don't suppress it, you don't control it, after a while, you will be able to develop the silence within the stability of that mindfulness. Then in order to help you to realize the silent mind faster, you can use the mind sweeping method to actually decondition all this heedless thinking that you have developed in your daily life. So what you do is, you just silence everything, relax body and mind, make sure you have a stable posture with a straight backbone. Then you close your eye. Then you start feeling your forehead. You sweep from your forehead down. You just feel. Do not think, just feel. Silence everything, then relax. Whatever tension within your forehead muscle, or tightness or stress within, you just silence your mind to relax into them all. Feel them suddenly relax, relax and relax. Then you sweep this awareness or attention down to your eye muscle. Just feel, don't think, feel. Again, relax every tension, tightness or stress within. Then you move it down to your facial muscle, do the same, sweep it down. Every layer of your facial muscle, relax them all. Feel it suddenly relax. Then you can combine with loving kindness and metta to bring about inner peace and inner well-being. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you are relaxed because that joy within your smile will allow you to relax. Then your facial muscle will relax naturally. Then you can radiate love and metta. We are following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You should feel your entire body and mind as you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, feel it. Feel the entire body and mind. Then be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite well and happy, you must feel that well-being and happiness within your entire being, your entire body and mind, every cells within your form, your physical body and mind. Then you can continue to radiate this metta. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel your body without any physical and mental suffering. Then may it too be free from all harm and danger. Then may its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. As you continue to radiate, you will have a lot of inner well-being. Then the mind-sweeping method will bring about inner peace. That's why the byproduct of meditation, inner peace leading to inner well-being, is very useful, very important. It will help to bring about the clarity of mind, the silence within, the joy and the happiness within, the inner well-being and the inner peace. Then you can continue to radiate this metta to all your loved ones. Could be your parents, your spouse, your children, your brothers and sisters, and somebody you have affection for. Could be your good friend, kayamitas, and all those that you have affinity with. You can radiate the same to them. May all my loved ones do be well and happy. Well and happy. You can visualize them and radiate this metta to them. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can read it to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity of ancestors, including all kayanamitas and Dhamma friends who are meditating together, and all beings within the vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, may they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then may all beings within the whole of Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our planet, Mother Earth, then our solar system, our galaxy and Milky Way, then the whole of this universe of ours, may all beings within the entire existence too be well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, you just feel, relax and feel, silent everything and just feel. Then you move your attention down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart area, your chest area. Silence everything and just feel. you can detect any vibration or your heartbeat around your heart area, you just silence everything and just feel. Don't think, just feel. When the mind and the vibration or the heartbeat move as one, that is sati. So you just stay there. But if you are new, if you are not skillful, your sati is still not established, not stable, then it's okay. You just feel the heart, like you feel your forehead. Then you relax into it, every part of it. Relax, relax, and relax. Feel it suddenly. Relax. Then you move this attention down to your stomach. Feel. Relax. Then move it down to your abdomen again. Silence your mind and feel. Then relax into it. Then you move it to your buttock. Do the same. Feel, relax, leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse this whole process of mind sweeping method from the leg. Feel, relax, buttock, feel, relax, abdomen, feel, relax, stomach, feel, relax. Then the heart area, silence everything and just feel, relax. Then you move your attention back to your shoulder, your hand, back to shoulder, then neck, then facial muscle, feel and relax every part of it. Feel the joy within. Then move it to your eye muscle, feel and relax everything. Then your forehead, do the same, feel and relax. Do you need to do the mind sweeping method one more round? It's up to you. If you have enough, if you are more calm, more peaceful, silent, that is your natural state of sati, the silent mind. You need to stabilize this mind. So I will teach you the skillful means, which is to develop an anchor for this mind so that it can become stable, so that this inner peace, inner awareness, inner mindfulness can stabilize the silence within. You can use either anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is a skillful means, a training to anchor the mind to the in and out breath so that it can be with the moment without thought in sati. So that is the purpose of anapanasati, to anchor the mind to the breath, to the breathing. So like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just silence your mind and feel. The moment you are silent, you're already in sati. Don't do anything. Just maintain the silence to feel. When you can detect your breathing, then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind follows the breathing. The mind is aware of the in-breath without words. Then breathing out, again, the mind is aware of the out-breath. Means the breath and the mind move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony without thought. Now that is anapanasati. Initially, if you are not used to it, you have not developed the stability of it, within split second, your mind will wander off. You will not be able to maintain mindfulness of the in and out-breath. But as long as you are patient, every time this mind wanders off, you determine to bring it back. Do not react and become unhappy over what happened, because you have to develop the understanding. The untrained mind is heedless. It thinks a lot. Within split second, it's lost in thought. That's why you need to train this mind. Every time it wanders off, bring it back and maintain attention in front of your nostril. You repeat this exercise and training. Not long, your anapanasati will stabilize. Then when you are able to do it skillfully, piti will arise, a type of spiritual joy, spiritual rapture will arise. Piti arises because of sati, mindfulness. The mind that is in sati without thought is very, very blissful, very mindful. It is just
quiet, silent, and just knowing. And that state is very, very beautiful. If you experience for the first time, you will like to meditate, to develop that calmness, the inner peace, the inner calmness, that spiritual joy born of training this mind. Then as you continue to develop the anapanasati and relax deeper into it, it will become more peaceful, more refined, more silent. Then from piti, it develops into sukha. Sukha is a spiritual bliss, a lot more peaceful than the rapture, which is piti. Then as sukha arises, the spiritual bliss will make the mind quiet, very blissful, very still. Then the breath like become long breath. Yeah. So you continue to stabilize this, then continue to relax into it, until finally this long breath will become very quiet. It will go back to subtle breathing, little or no breathing. Your metabolic activity through your mindfulness of in and out breath anapanasati, they will become more and more stable, more and more refined, until like you hardly breathe. You will reach a stage where there is little or no breathing. They call it the subtle breathing phase. During that phase, you continue to relax and silent, allow it to be. The mind will develop and become more refined, and it will develop the higher, more refined mindfulness within. At that moment, the mind is in sati. Then paucity will arise, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. The silent mind, the meditative mind, it will arise. So this is the mind that can meditate. Then when it arises, you just silent everything and just feel. Then the awareness within the form of mind will understand clearly the reality and the truth and the universal characteristic and all the essential Dhamma that will arise within the form of mind. Okay, I will leave it to you to develop the meditation from here. I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Then for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully, later on, after you hear the bell, come out of the meditation. Okay.
Joseph still want to meditate, you can continue. But is it enough? Slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. You have to use this trained mind to develop the daily mindfulness, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path in daily life, especially the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. Okay, now we will continue with our invocation to the Devas. Turn to page 6. I will chant you the English translation. Then after that, I will chant the Pali. Then we will chant together. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vichacharana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sango Yadidam chattari purisai yukani Atha purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakineyo, Anjali Karaniyo, Anutarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Okay, we'll pay respect mindfully to the triple gem.
Bhutang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay. You can be seated, eh? Then relax body and mind, maintain some form of attention. Then we will continue with the Diamond Sutta. Huh? We were at page 45. Okay. Before we continue, we will read the opening verse for starting the sutta. Turn to page 1. Verse for opening a sutta, we will recite together. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Here, Tathagata means the Buddha, Sammasambuddha. Okay, turn to page 45. So we were at this particular topic, where there are seven great qualities of a great Bodhisattva. They call it Mahasattva. So we have finished two. So now we come to the third one. The first one is he must have perfected great roots. We have covered. Then he must have great wisdom. Now the third one is he believes the great Dhamma, means unshakable faith. We are at this section 3. He believes the great Dhamma. The Buddha Dhamma is deeper than the great sea, higher than Mount Sumeru. It is difficult to fathom and difficult to penetrate. But with faith, one can taste its flavor. Entry into the ocean of Buddha Dhamma is impossible for people who lack faith. That's why sadha, faith, is very important. So this has been emphasized since the Buddha's time. And all true cultivators of the way, they will understand the significance and great importance of having this faith. Sadha in the Buddha and his teaching. That will bring about a lot of self-confidence, a very strong mind that has this spiritual faculty of faith. Without this spiritual faculty of faith, it's very difficult to receive spiritual teaching, to understand spiritual teaching. That faith will give rise to the understanding. This faith is not blind faith, like I explained. This faith is born of understanding who the Buddha is, how special a being a Sammasambuddha is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. He has perfected all of the virtue and wisdom needed to be a Sammasambuddha. You can say he is the most virtuous and the most wise, or the wisest of all living beings ever to be born during his time. That's why that makes him very unique. So when you come to understand who he is, you will have great faith in him, great respect and gratitude towards him. Then later on, when you come to understand his great teaching, the essence of his teaching, which is the Four Noble Truths, that can explain to you clearly the secret of life, the nature's law that governs life and existence. So when you understand his special teaching, it can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. It can liberate your mind. It can transform you.
personality-wise, character-wise, into an enlightened being that is free of all suffering from that moment onward. You don't have to worry about life. You will have the great wisdom and understanding to live life. And that will bring about the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. Means you get to experience the third phase of Dhamma, which is the fruit of your hard work, which is to live the life of a noble one or enlightened being. And that is the most beautiful part of your life. And that is the most important aspect of human aspiration or achievement or realization. That is the pinnacle of what you can really develop. Any being who can develop that understanding, he is called the great man, he is called the special one, the enlightened one, the noble ones. They are worthy of great respect, offering, gift and hospitality. And while doing that with understanding is a field of limitless blessings and merits. That's why it's very unique. So this faith is something that you must constantly cultivate through reflection, contemplation and determination. Then through this faith you can make your aspiration, you can make your very, very sincere, pure vow or pure wish. And that will take you to the deeper understanding of the teaching. Then it can bring forth the condition for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. Especially for those who are going for this coming spiritual trip to India. Some of you have just came back from Anandagiri. I saw the photo. I rejoice with all the wholesomeness. Then all Kayanamita can also rejoice because Kayanamita Fund donated to. Then if you are going for such spiritual trips, your mind must have this sada, this faith very strong. Then it can bring forth a lot of condition for many things to happen. The faith can bring forth the condition for you to receive a lot of great blessing. A lot of all these great beings' nature, their energy, their whatever, support, blessing, protection. So all these are possible when you have the faith and when you know how to connect. Then as you travel, maintain that faith, maintain the inner mindfulness within. Then the faith will bring forth the virya, which is the spiritual zeal, the second spiritual faculty. Then when you maintain the cultivation of sati, the third spiritual faculty will arise. Then when sati stabilizes, samadhi, which is the fourth spiritual faculty, will arise. Then with sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are very clearly. That's how wisdom arises, the last spiritual faculty. So sati and samadhi will bring forth the awakening. It will allow you to insight into phenomena without thought. Because sati and samadhi is without thought. It's just mindfulness and collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. So this mind, at the moment of sense experience, does not waver, does not stir, does not react. It is silent. It is collected and unwavering. That's why it can see things as they are. It can insight into phenomena. It can awaken to their characteristic. It can understand truth there and then. That's why the Buddha said, jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Seeing things as they are, not what your mind tell you, not what your conditioning tell you. So this is why faith, siddha, is very important. Then we read on. Just as one might gaze at the ocean and heave a great sigh, saying, it is so big, I could not drink it dry in my entire life. so too mighty one might, sorry, so too might one react when confronted with the precious store of Buddha Dharma, saying, how can I ever study all the suttas? However, if one has faith, if one truly believes, then from the shallow, one can enter the deep. From the near, one can reach the far. From the little, one can gain a lot. With constant investigation, little by little, one penetrates. Little by little, one penetrates the precious stores of Buddha Dharma. Deep faith, see, make note of this, huh? Deep faith, firm vows, and actual cultivation or practice are the ingredients. These are the three things. They are very important. Huh? Deep faith, firm vows. Your vows must be very firm, very strong. You must not waver. You must not doubt. Then the actual cultivation. That's why I always say you must have faith, sincerity, then diligence, perseverance. So these three will bring forth the way. So these three is similar to what the Diamond Sutta mentioned. Faith is the same. Here they make it stronger. Deep faith, very strong faith. That's why I always tell you, if you got these three things, the Dhamma will unfold. You must have faith. You must be very sincere. Means when you are sincere, you are very clear about what you want. You will make your very firm vows. And you will cultivate. That's why you persevere to develop the cultivation. So these three, deep faith, firm vow, and actual cultivation or practice are the ingredients. No matter how wonderful the great Dhamma is, without firm faith, the wonderful cannot be realized or obtained. So you see the importance of faith stressed everywhere in the Diamond Sutta. So you must bear this in mind. Huh? Okay. Great Dhamma refers to prajna, wisdom. Prajna is the Sanskrit word for panya, which is also wisdom. So one simply need believe in his own original existential wisdom. A passage of the Vajra Sutta, which is the Diamond Sutta, says, whoever produces a single thought of pure faith is completely known and completely seen by the Tathagata. This one I think I have explained before. So this one is very important. He said, you must believe in your own original existential wisdom. Means originally, you are already in the perfect state. Their true nature, which is Buddha nature, is already that perfect state. But because from there, the first thought of ignorance stir, then you fall. Then it become accumulated over long periods of evolution. Then it become what it is, complicated, five aggregates of form and mind. Then not until that form and mind develop wisdom through meditation to connect back to this nature, it can never understand that true nature, that original nature. And it can never return back to the source. So because of that, the Diamond Sutta said, there is a passage in the Diamond Sutta. It says, whoever can produce a single thought of pure faith is completely known and completely seen by the Tathagata. The Buddha knows if you bring forth a single thought of pure faith. Then, of course, he says, receiving the telegram, he sends the reply. This one is
just like to let you understand through a metaphor. Here Shen Hua puts it this way, is it? Relentlessly cultivate morality, concentration and wisdom. Actually it should be Sila, Samadhi and Panya. Sila is morality, but Samadhi is not concentration. It's collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. Then wisdom is the same. Then this greed, hatred and delusion, they are the three evil roots. They will be rooted out. So the people who receive the reply should respond immediately by relentlessly cultivating Sila, Samadhi and Panya, thus putting greed, hatred and delusion to rest. However, the Dhamma is so subtle and wonderful that the person who received the telegrams from the Buddha may not even realize it. So these are explained before. Just like what Quang Ching Lao He Sang has been sharing with people. People ask him, what is wisdom? You know what is his reply or not? What is his reply? What is wisdom? Anybody want to try? What is wisdom? Non-perception. That one is the Diamond Sutta and the Surangama Sutta. Perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. So when you do not arise the mundane mind to perceive, you use the true mind to see things as they are, to perceive the reality. That's why non-perception of form is wisdom. But you have to understand it deeper. Because Quang Ching Lao Sang said, when you meditate, they use the Pure Land method. When you develop this Pure Land chanting, then you develop the spiritual faculty out of it sincerely. Because as they chant with the faith, they develop Sada. Then the Virya will drive them. Then when they chant until the mind, means the awareness and the mantra or the chanting become one, means become one, they are not separated. It's just like the breathing and the mind, awareness become one, then you are in sati. That's why when we went to Taiwan, remember? Fa Gu San. I think the teacher passed away already. Sen Yan Fa Si. People ask him, what is meditation? He said 18 words. Sen zai nali. Sing zai nali. Sen zai nali. Sing zai nali. Then the other thing he said is, what already? Sen zai nali. Sing zai nali. What else already? What are the other ones? Fang song, relax. Chen Chuan Ti Fang Song. Correct. Fang Song, relax. Chuan Ti Fang Song. And that is a very good definition. He said, wherever your body is, your mind follow. That is meditation. Actually, that is Kaya Nubasana. You start with Kaya Nubasana. Understand? Body and mind as one. The breath and mind as one. Then relax. Relax is most important. The whole body and mind relax. That's why I say fang song, chuan ti fang song. So for those who understand, they will come back to the same understanding. They put in different words. So meditation is to be understood. Just now before we start, I think Brother Siha asked me a question which was very good. He said, Brother Teo, it's very difficult to actually break free from the self-delusion and thought-based meditation because he come to realize through the sharing that I have given you all that most meditators unknowingly, without them realizing, they are using thought to meditate.
That's why it becomes thought-based meditation. And thought-based meditation is a trap. It cannot liberate the mind. So that one is a very important understanding. Otherwise, you can be wasting your time year in, year out, even going for retreat, attending meditation, learning Dhamma, everything. Then when you use the thought to develop the meditation, you end up doing thought-based meditation. You do all the noting. You do all the labeling. The whatever skillful means that people teach you. And you develop all those thinking that this is vipassana, thinking that this is meditation, not knowing that the real sati is without thought. The moment you are silent and aware, you are already in sati. That's why you don't have to try to be mindful. The trying is by the thought. The thought come back through the back door. That's why you are not in sati. And you are using the thought to actively verbalize, chatter, and meditate in the name of meditation. So who is the meditator? The thought is the meditator. And the thought is actively noting and doing all those meditation. The moment you are preoccupied with this arising of thought, chattering, verbalization, you are no longer in sati. You cannot be silent to be with the moment to understand the truth and the reality. That's why you cannot see things as they are. You cannot insight into phenomena because you are actively creating thought. Man can only do one thing at a time. Remember? Either you are silent within, in awareness, to be aware of what is going on, to be in a meditative state, or you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what your thought is telling you. When you are preoccupied with the thought process, with the reaction to what you see, what you hear, what you think, you cannot be mindful anymore. You are already heedless, lost in thought. That's why the heedless think a lot. The awakened one is silent, without thought. That's why they are peaceful. They are very silent, very peaceful. There's a lot of clarity, there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of enlightenment factors within. Sati is always with them. Samadhi is always with them. Then because of the wisdom, there is equanimity. And because there is sati, pity will always be there. Pity leading to, of course, paucity. So all this spiritual faculty leading to the enlightenment factor, they will stabilize. Then as you cultivate, you will have more and more of this spiritual faculty. Then it will become unshakable. Then the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. That's why the spiritual faculty start with faith, sadha. And this is the very important starting point. So from there, everything come about. So the Diamond Sutta make it very clear. Not until you can silence your mind to arise one moment of pure thought without content, you have yet to understand the true cultivation. Because you have to meditate and dwell in the true mind to develop this more refined, or they call it the higher meditation, the true meditation done by great bodhisattva, done by great beings. That's why you can cultivate until no mark, like what the Diamond Sutta explained. There is no mark of even a being or a self cultivating. There is no mark of any living being that you are trying to save or have relationship with. And there is no mark of any Dhamma that you are trying to understand and develop the practice or the cultivation. You do not hold them. You do not cling on to them. You understand them clearly. That's why you can transcend all this. When you have this wisdom, when you have the insight, you will understand that all these are words, not that reality. that reality is without words. It's beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond concept, beyond words, beyond ideas. Yeah. All this understanding are very important, and it can only come about when you finally awaken. Otherwise, it remains an idea, a knowledge which you think you know. Yeah. But for those who really cultivate, when you have some form of realization or some form of penetrative insight, then you can start to understand all this, although it is not yet experiential, but it is at least able to give you the understanding that this is the final outcome when you finally realize it. The cultivator, the form and mind, will come to that understanding. That's why their faith becomes unshakable. And there is so much joy. Then sometimes they experience one moment of it, one glimpse of cessation. And that is a very powerful experience. And that leads to change of lineage. You become an Arya. At least the first stage of sainthood, Sotapanna, or Sotapanship. So this aspect of understanding is very important. Okay? And this one moment of pure thought is not easy to develop. Even I ask you one simple question, unless you already cultivate, can you have one moment of silence without thought? Can you experience the space between two thoughts? You can't even experience that, means there is no way you can produce a pure thought. But when you can experience the space between thought, the silence, the nature, then there is a possibility. Then the moment you insight and develop the understanding, then later on you can stay silent, then you can have a pure thought, without content, just aware. Surface. And it become like a second nature of yours. Throughout the day, your mind is like that. And the Diamond Sutta already mentioned, the moment you can do that, the Buddha will know. Because that oneness, you connect back to the oneness. So this is a very important saying. The Sutta says, whoever who can produce a single thought of pure faith is completely known and completely seen by the Tathagata, the Sammasambuddha. So this part is just for your understanding. Then we go on. The fourth criteria of a great Mahasattva is he understands the great principle. Okay, we turn to the next page. This is the understanding that one is oneself, originally Buddha. So this is the what they call very important understanding. That's why you don't go and underestimate yourself. Understand? Don't be deluded by the thought. The thought will always tell you, "Ayo, I'm not even a Sotapan yet. How can I say I am like the Buddha, has this Buddha nature?" Then some of you will say, I'm very child one. Simple Dhamma also cannot understand. Meditate so long, put in so much effort, yet little or no progress. If you think like that, then you are caught in the thought. Understand? No? The thought will condition you and bring forth the low self-esteem. You remember? Like that time we mentioned, the poor people, the unsuccessful people, they remain unsuccessful and poor because they are bound by the thought. Understand? The thought conditioned them to believe that they are in no position to become wealthy, understand? To become smart, not for me. So they actually limit themselves, create their own low self-esteem. But when you come to the understanding that each and every living being, like the Buddha said, we had this Buddha nature within, the reason why living beings are not able to realize this nature is because of delusion, sakkayaditti, especially self-delusion. When self-delusion is gone, when the atta is gone, your nature will shine forth. Then you become different. Then you realize, hey, you are no different from the Buddha, Sammasambuddha. You have that same potential to be a Sammasambuddha. The only thing you have to do is that three criteria, sincerity, faith, and diligence. Means you must have deep faith. Then you must invoke the vow or the aspiration to move, then cultivate, persevere. That's why these three things is very important. I better write it down, otherwise not easy to remember. First one is what? Huh? Faith. Huh? Faith. Then sincerity. Last one is what? Perseverance or diligence. Huh? Perseverance or diligence. So these are the three important mind state leading to enlightenment. You have these three important criteria or mind states. Yeah? You will definitely become awakened, enlightened. The first one is faith. So in the Diamond Sutta, it's mentioned you must have deep faith. So this is sadha, deep faith, sadha. Until your sadha become unshakable, spiritual powers. Then sincerity is you are very sincere. That's why you must have deep vow or strong vow. Then the third one is you must cultivate. So these three criteria or mind states or criteria. They are very important for you to walk the path of Dhamma. You can have them, then you are destined for enlightenment because this will lead to heedfulness. Then the heedful never die. So these three very important cultivation criteria you must bear in mind. Deep faith, firm vow, deep or firm vows, then the actual cultivation are the ingredients. So here you can actually either use strong or firm, strong or firm. Firm vows. Then here, actual cultivation or practice. Some of you like the word practice, but practice is not so appropriate a word. Well, practice is more for repetitive thing. When you train yourself to develop some practices, means it's a routine. But cultivation is not a routine. Cultivation is to cultivate understanding, wisdom. You don't try to remember things. You don't try to repeat repetitively. Whereas if you want to build up sati and other things, then you can use repetitive training. Yeah. But when it comes to wisdom, it's a cultivation. It's not a practice. Yeah. You can practice how to play badminton, how to cook, and how to cycle and all those things. Things that you do repetitively. Yeah. But when it comes to development of wisdom, insight, you cannot practice. Because there is nobody there to practice. You just silence your mind, and that mind that is in the silent awareness will awaken, will insight, will understand. Yeah. There is no practice. Okay, can follow? Yeah. Okay, before we go into this, the fourth one, is there any question? Yeah? So far, anything that you want to develop further understanding? Yeah. So, the third criteria to be a great Mahasattva is he must have very firm faith and believes in the great Dhamma. Mm. So this firm faith will actually lead to this sincerity and perseverance. So in the Diamond Sutta, is put in a very clearer manner. The faith, they say it must be very strong, very deep. Mm. Then your vow, it must be very firm, means very strong. You are very sincere about it. This is what you want to realize. This is what you want to develop. Then for those who wants to really go the full Sammasambuddha way, the Bodhisattva way, you need to take the four great vows. Four basic vows of a Bodhisattva. So that one, the Mahayana stress a lot. The first vow, the first of all the four basic vows, is you vow to save the limitless living beings and to take them across, means awaken them. Then the second one is you vow to endure and severe all the section of suffering. Because to do this work, you need to have a lot of faith that can drive you to endure all this, to persevere, to see, do all these things. So you have to have a lot of sacrifice, a lot of faith. Then you have to endure all the whatever obstruction that arise, the hindrance that arise, whatever impediment that arise. So all this, you have to endure them, the limitless, the section of all suffering, to do this work, to cultivate this way. Then the third one is to penetrate, the third basic vow is to penetrate all Dhamma, means you not only awaken to the Four Noble Truths, you have to awaken to all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. Then finally, the final vow is to develop the perfection of the 10 perfection, to realize the Buddhahood. So these are the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva, and you have to develop them, make them very strong, very firm. Then after that, all the other related vows, because of your nature, because of what you have developed and understand, they will become your other type of special vows. That's why every great being, Bodhisattva or Buddhas, they have their speciality, their uniqueness, and their vows are all very different. And each and every one of them, their vows are very unique, very special, and very, very meaningful, very beautiful. If you read through all their vows, you will come to understand. Kuan Yin has his very special vows. Then Amitabha Buddha one is very, very heavy. 48 heavy vows. 48大愿. Then Pusen only 10, very simple, but very, very powerful. Then the fourth vow is to perfect the 10 perfection, to be a Sammasambuddha. Then later on, through your own cultivation, through your own understanding, you will know what you are very good at. Then you will put in the separate vows. That's how the great beings, all of them, have their own vows. Lien, you can get the book from Padmasuri. She has photostated it, I think. There is a book on the Bodhisattva vows and precepts. We were in Taiwan that time. I saw that book for free distribution on the table. Then I took it up. Then I took back and read. Then when I read, I realized that the Mahayana are not bad. They have all this. So they are all, it's in English, it's not in Mandarin. Fagu Sanon, written by our late Sun Yen Pasu. So that one is very clearly explained inside there too, the four great vows. But they are not properly listed, they are just mentioned. So if you don't understand, you can never pick it up. But when you understand, you will pick it up. That's why I pick it up, then I let some of them understand. This year, beginning of this year, is very strange, I remember. 2nd of January. Don't know, 1st or 2nd of January. 2nd, Padmasuri got this intention, the whole special puja. Then we had a group of Kayanamitas. I forgot how many already, but quite a number came. We had this sharing of the Bodhisattva way. So that day, this was the only year I started to share and teach the Bodhisattva way. Before that, there were no condition and very little people interested. Then suddenly, end of last year, I don't know what happened, the condition arrived. So many of them wrote to me about this Bodhisattva way and all those things. Then the nature realized the time has come. Many of you have the affinity. And it's not difficult. The message I want to pass down is, it's not difficult. Do not be misled by those people who say that, whoa, for eons and eons and eons of cultivation, or you think you can. Then who say that? The thought say that. Forget about the thought. As long as you have this treating, the faith, the sincerity, and just persevere. No matter how long, how difficult. Amitabha's vow is so heavy, 12-hour cycle, and yet he fulfilled them. So if he can fulfill, nobody else will fail. Because his one is very, very heavy, extraordinarily heavy. If he can fulfill, all the other Bodhisattvas' vow are actually comparatively chicken feet, really. That's why one of my teacher used to tell me, he said, when you walk this way, initially like very difficult, but then later on you come to realize it's very rewarding. There is so much joy in the understanding. That's why you will not have any problem. You will just continue to do. Because it's like you know and understand the secret of life. Then you know how to come. That's why you know how to return home. So every time you come, you have this understanding. And it's so beautiful. You will bring forth the way. That's why there is no such thing as, wow, so tough, so difficult, so much suffering, so much to endure. Ah, yeah, better stop everything, become arahant, finish. A lot of people have that thought. I don't know why. You have that thought means it's the thought that is telling you. The thought always tell you a lot of this type of thing. You think you can. You better don't play. So it will like, they say, pour cold water on your aspiration or your faith and your dreams. So when you don't have that sadha, you can easily be affected by your thought that come through the back door and tell you all these things. Because when you don't have the perseverance, this type of thought will come. Ayo, enough lah. Then you give up. But if you don't even allow the thought to arise, you just have the faith, sincerity, then you persevere. You just do, understand? Like in meditation, I say, do, don't try to know. And then when you awaken, it's so rewarding, understand? Then you realize the advice given was correct. Who is trying to know when you are meditating? The thought is trying to know, understand? And the thought that is doing all this, it's thought-based meditation. It's not the real meditation. You know the thought, what will it tell you or not in the meditation? It wants to know whether he has done it correctly or not. So the thought will say, is this correct? Am I doing it according to what my teacher told me or what the Buddha say? Then after a while, the thought will arise, is this jhana, is this jnana, is this what the book say, is this what my teacher say? Then what are you doing? You are no longer meditating, understand? The thought is actively doing all this. That's why when you try to know, you are gone. All of knowing comes from the thought, knowledge. Who is trying to know? The thought is trying to know, and the thought is active. You can never realize. You can't even meditate. That's why the thought is so powerful. And the thought is so delusive. It deludes you. It actually conditions you to do a lot of things without you knowing. That's why you must have sati, mindfulness, to be very, very mindful of the arising of thought. And Mahayana got a very good way of understanding all these things. They come out with a lot of this word. You heard of this word, qi xing dong nian. When the mind arises, even a single thought, it will create activity of mind, understand? Start thinking already. You will become heedless. Then mind is a forerunner of all things. That's why they say, yiqie wei xing cao. Everything arises from the mind. Everything is created by the mind. So when mind arises, everything comes to be. So you come to realize that mind got two parts, two aspects. One is the silent mind, the true mind, no thought, nothing. The other one is the conditioned arising mind, the fire aggregate of. And that one is impermanent. That one leads to suffering. That one is non-self and empty. If you cannot see that, you will get into trouble. Then Mahayana also got another teaching, is it? Suo zi zang. Zang is obstruction. Suo zi, everything that you come to know, that's why all of your knowing is your knowledge. They are mental obstruction. They will obstruct you. It will bring about karmic obstruction. It will obstruct you from awakening. Then worry. All of your worry, your sorrow, your lamentation, fan nao zang. When you have a lot of worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and fear, your mind is restless, is a hindrance. It becomes a mental obstruction, a mental hindrance to meditation. That's why, so zi zang, fan nao zang. So the moment they understand this, they will not think. They will not go and worry. Those who wants to take renunciation, they will have this tree shaving. I remember I saw it from the Hui Neng one when he was ordained. Xu Yun Lao He Sang, not Hui Neng, Xu Yun Lao He Sang, when he went for ordination. I remember the show that they recite the first shave. Is to renounce the world, I think. The second shave is to shave off all worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation and suffering. Then the third shave is to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, to awaken so that you can save living beings. So their shaving is very meaningful. First, renounce the world. Then, second one is to renounce all fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Then finally is to penetrate all Dhamma to liberate living being. So all these are very meaningful. Okay. So far, any question? Otherwise, we go to the fourth criteria, which is he understands the great principle. So the great principle is each and every one of us, you will never know who you are, what your nature is, until later. And when you come to that realization, you will get a shock of your life. You never knew you could be so beautiful. Actually, a lot of you may not know now. Because of your condition, your affinity, you have your past. There is a definite confirmation already. But you will never know who you are until you really connect. Then you will get a shock of your life. You will be very surprised later on. Because for you to be born during the Buddha Sasana is already very rare. You must have great parami. For you to become a human being in this Buddha Sasana is even more rare. Then for you to come into contact with the Triple Gem and yet learn the Dhamma, cultivate, this is even more rare. So with all this, you can be rest assured you have your past. It's only how much faith you have, sincerity and perseverance. When you have this and you cultivate and you connect, then you will come to realize your nature. Then you will come to inherit them. Then you will come to understand how beautiful your past were. They will unfold. For some of you, may not be too long. It may be quite fast. Then when you come to understand, you will be very amazed. Then for some of you will know one, because when you are born into this world, you are very different one. You are very unique one. Just like the way I came, my life very funny one. I look back, actually when I was young, before I even know the Buddha Dhamma, my nature inside is very different. This nature really new. There is a lot of things that is happening. That's why when I was young, I was exposed to all these conditions. And I saw them. And at that time, I don't understand what they are. But I knew there is a reason for all these things. Then later on, when I grew up, when I developed the cultivation, when I connect, this nature connect, then the understanding came. Then suddenly all this recall back all the past since the young days. And all. Then I realized everything fall into place. It's meant to be. I never do anything this life. Everything was from the past, inherited. The karmic nature, the spiritual nature, they were so unique and so powerful. That's why everything arises. Then the book comes, the teacher comes, the guide comes. This form and mind and nature never do anything. But it know what to do when they come. And the condition when they arise, it know what to do. It know how to accord and flow. It know how to develop the appropriate understanding. And it receive also very fast, understand also very fast. Then many things just happen. That's why later on, many of you will have that understanding. Then you start to be like very amazed by the universal law of nature. How all this, when they become a part of that nature's law, it becomes so beautiful. It will just arise. Then you will understand the sign. Then there is so much joy. There is so much understanding. Then the faith becomes unshakable. Then later on you come to understand not only how the teacher come, the guide come, the book come and all that. Then later on how the student come and how the Kayanamita come and how all the various beings that have affinity come. Everyone is so different. You can ask around. Everybody that come to the Kayana Mitashi, I don't know you all. You all come on your own. I never ask people to go and get people or promote. You all come on your own. So all this is part and parcel of nature. Part and parcel of the nature's law. And when you understand, it is all your affinity, your parami. If you don't have the affinity and the parami, you cannot be here. You cannot be listening to all this. You will not be able to even have the condition to come into contact. No way. But the moment you have this condition means you have your past. That's why I do not underestimate your nature. You only need to be very, very patient, cultivate with sincerity, with faith, persevere. Then all this will unfold. Okay? Any question? Yeah? Anybody, any question? Lian? Pass the mic to Lian. He got a lot of questions. She just came back from the state. Look after the grandchildren.
I don't have questions.
Oh, then never
but
mind.
I realized that things happen.
You will know.
It happens and it just unfolds by itself.
Yeah, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Just like how you come to know that you are going to have your grandchild. And when is it going to be born? And even before the daughter-in-law knew she is conceiving, she already knew. And so many of these things you may not understand. Then to a lot of people it's like, how can it be? But when you understand, like I used to tell some of the Kayanamita, you may think it's fairy tale. But the actual happening is more fantastic than fairy tale. Fairy tale also not so fantastic. What actually happened is even more fantastic than fairy tale. You can't even imagine that it can be so amazing, so beautiful. And the causes and conditions just fall into place. So beautiful. Even if it allow you to plan beforehand, you can never plan it so beautifully. And because of that, as you progress along the power of cultivation, you realize this way is so beautiful and so rewarding, like my teacher say. That's why it won't stop.
Brother Teo, I just want to say that the 15 hours of my flight.
Oh, beautiful.
It just passed. Yeah, and how do I pass it?
Yeah, la.
You meditate. Want to know how I pass it?
Yeah,
no,
meditate.
I didn't meditate. You I read your book.
Oh, sadhu.
Yeah. I read your book on
You are quite similar to Alicia. She listened to my recording.
I read
my book.
I read your book and then I went through one recording.
Very good.
It's already time.
Yeah, time.
15 hours.
Yeah, sadhu.
Wow, so
very
fast.
Good. Very good, sadhu.
And I felt
and
so
there is so much joy because when you read this transcript, especially with your ability to understand, the Dhamma is so rewarding, so beautiful, and it touched the heart. That's why there is so much joy, so much faith, so much pity inside there. Then this faith becomes so strong. That's why it passed by like 15 hour of flight. Normally, you don't know how to relax and meditate. You will find it very boring to fly for 15 hours sitting on a small chair. Even in the business class or so. Then off and on, they call you out, wake you up for food and all this thing. Then you keep on going to the toilet or something. But if your mind is not beautiful, if you don't have the understanding and the heedfulness, your mind will complain, it will react. That's why you cannot even enjoy your flight. That's why when I travel, I felt very good because I enjoy every moment of it. All of the spiritual trip and all those things. Even my recent trip to the Mediterranean, the States, Europe, Europe, Mediterranean country, the 22 days tour was so beautiful. Normally people get boring after 7 days or 8 days. We are 22 days, like very long. But no, every day was so beautiful. Every day was like very, very meaningful. Every moment was so beautiful. And there was so much joy. And when you are there, you are really there. You don't go and think of home, think of this, think of that. You really at that place, you feel the environment, the nature. Then you have all these pure senses that can allow you to perceive the beauty and wonders of life. And everything is so beautiful, so pristine within the moment. And everything that you come to experience is real life. That's why when you can be with the moment to live life, it's so different. Even sitting here sharing here on the Dhamma, every moment is so beautiful. Every moment the nature is so beautiful moving inside. That's why when you have this ability to be aware, to be mindful, to be sensitive, you not only understand what is inside, you understand what is outside. You can feel many, many things. The nature here is very different, you know. You come here, you sit, you know. The energy is very different. The nature is very beautiful. And things start to come. All these don't belong to me. They just come. So you ask me how, I also don't know how. But when the time comes, things come. That's why last time the guide come, the teacher come, the book come. Now all this come. And all this, actually before all these things start, I don't want all these things. But because there is a reason for it. Because if you don't have all this, the solid granite or marble images, all this wisdom energy, meditative energy, they cannot be retained. Understand? After it's shared, gone. But I think they knew, the higher being knew. That's why they sent Thursday classes. I got one then here. And most of this came from Sumeru, then some of the Kayamitas. Then all this happened because the nature understands and it wants to move. It wants to benefit living beings. And because of the vow and the affinity, so all these great beings, their nature, they also want to be part of all this. Then one of them, actually, in the year 2008, requested my nature to come and share this understanding. So because of all this, it just fall into place. Then all this only come less than a year, I think, a few months only. That's why this one has become so powerful. It's so strong. After it came within a month, the whole thing like fully charged out. And it becomes so strong, so stable. Then of course the beings, the higher beings, they are all very beautiful and they are very supportive. So many of these together with the Kayamita, it forms a collective consciousness. That's why it will help each and every one to move. But you have to have this faith, sincerity and perseverance. If you have this tree, you move very, very fast, extraordinarily fast. 10, 14 really, so fast. Okay, any more questions? No more? You got anything you can ask, no problem. Can, Sherry.
I do practice when I was there in the US. And I carry my grandbaby on my body with a thing. I do my meditation.
Sadhu.
And I feel my heartbeat.
Very clear.
Her heartbeat.
Yeah,
you know?
Very clear. Like synchronized.
Synchronizing. Yes, it was so beautiful.
Because the affinity and the faith, then the two like synchronize.
Yeah,
pop-up,
my heartbeat pop-up. Is like synchronizing with the heartbeat.
Because
it was so
peaceful. Because at that age is very pure. That's why you can feel it. And that one is very beautiful. When you can be with the baby at that early age, it will actually, because of the affinity of that baby with you, so it will actually stabilize it. Then as it grew up, that child become different. That's why when I was young, I remember for 6 years, I got no thought. No thought. My mind is very different when I was young. Then my mother used to say, my grandmother also used to say, they thought I dumb, cannot talk. But they saw me so cute, so naive, so innocent. And they knew. It is among the 9 children, my mother always tell me, you are the only very different one. When I was born, the day I was born, the family become very lucky. My father strike that. He did strike actually. He was a salesman. He sell this like social welfare ticket. You know social welfare? That time combined in Singapore. Off the mic. Cannot be. Completely push it down. Ah, okay. Otherwise the distortion would not happen. Yeah, okay, thank you. You know what happened or not? He was a salesman for medical product. Then I got one uncle. Oh, his uncle actually. My grand uncle. He was selling this lottery in Limbu Tebal. He got only 20 tickets. No, he cannot sell. Left over about 18 tickets. No. So he asked my father to help to sell. My father said, okay, I take half. You put half here to sell. So my father took actually 10. Then the 8 ticket left it in the shop. Then my father sold the 10 ticket. No? And the 10 ticket came out first prize. No? At that time got commission. No? The commission that my father received was 5,000 ringgit at that time. No? It's very big money. No? Where he, that time no photostat one. But he went and collect the commission and prize money, they photostat for him. No? So during the 50s, 1950s, the photostat copy, he showed it to me when I was about to go to the uni. You know? Then I saw $5,000. You know? That's how it happened. Then my father knew. He said, he even checked with the fortune teller. The fortune teller threw the tong su. You know what he tell my father? No? So accurate, you know, your son will bring honor to the family. Your son will bring wealth to the family, and all those things. And my father didn't even know what this thing was, but he only heard from my mother. My mother believed all this one. So every time I go and ask around. Then later on, only my parents told me that only I came to know. Then at first I thought, how can it be? Born into a slum area where nobody even can pass. That time to find one Form 3 student who passed Form 3 is very exceptional already that town. So how you hope to come up and bring honor? Oh, somehow I came out and managed to enter MU do civil engineering. That was a real unique one. And Form 5 that year I scored. I got the gold medal for this. They call it what, Hakka Association. So I topped the whole state. So that time was very strange. A lot of things just happened. Then all this just unfold and nobody can understand. That's why I say later on you will come to understand. Then when you come to understand, it's very beautiful. So all these are possible. Then when you are silent, the mind is very different, it's very sensitive. Then with your grandchildren on the synchronizing everything, it actually helped the kid. Because when I was young, I remember, my nature was very different. I got no thought until I was almost 6 years old. Then they only transferred me back to Alostar. It was a notorious town. Where all the gangster, the drug addict, everything is there. Then from there, the mind get defiled. Then learn all the foul language, everything. But they send me to the best English school in all the stuff. That's why the good karma, things just happen. Then somehow, out of the 9 children, my mother knew I was very different. He said, you are the easiest to raise. I don't give her trouble. The moment I'm born, I hardly cry on. If I want food, I If I want to pee, I will just Then my leg, he put me on the Yao Lama. My leg will know how to move itself on, and no need her to come and move on. Oh, very strange. Huh? Then he said, I'm the easiest to look after. I never cry on. Then I need anything, I just Then she will know. Then she will come and take me down. Then shh. Then everything happens. Then she finds it so easy to look after me. So when your nature comes, each and every one is very different. But it depends on your cultivation. That's why everyone is different. When the time comes, you all will know. So just be patient, persevere. Then everything will unfold. Okay, we should thank Sister Lian for the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we continue a bit more. This is the understanding that one is oneself, originally Buddha. The principle is Buddha. Buddha is the principle. The Buddha is the one who has already realized Buddhahood. The Mahasattva understand that he himself has not yet realized Buddhahood. But that basically, the Buddha and he are one, not two and not different. The Buddha's cultivation of virtue is perfected. That of living being is not. Living beings are not yet realized Buddha. Buddhas are already realized living beings. One should not become confused about this and profess to be a Buddha, saying, I'm a Buddha. Sorry, I'm Buddha and Buddha is me. The Buddha is the living being who has realized Buddhahood. Living beings are not yet realized Buddha. How is it that we are originally Buddha? This part you all have to get the understanding clear. But a lot of people have the wrong understanding. Hey, we originally got the Buddha nature, no? We just have to connect lah. We become some Buddha already. Wow, you think so easy? No, you have to connect and cultivate all the while, all the way and perfect. Understand? It doesn't mean that you have that nature, you are Buddha. Understand? Your nature is same as the Buddha nature. You have that potential to become that. Understand? It's just like when you are born into this world. You have the potential to become a civil engineer or professional engineer or doctor or lawyer or accountant or whatever. But you have to work towards it. Understand? The system allows that. You have that potential because maybe you have parents who can finance you and give you a proper education. Then from there you can develop the potential to become one. But you have to work your way through. Understand? So in a similar way, you have to cultivate this nature, sana, until it becomes the Sammasambuddha. Then the other part is, real mark prajna is not separate from the minds of living being. The Buddha is the mind of living being. Our true mind is Buddha. See? The word true mind, sana, not your mundane mind, not your conditioned arising mind, not your thinking mind. Not your Sakaya Ditti, deluded mind. As present, however, we have not evacuated or uncovered our own true nature. And we use, a false thinking mind. This is your mundane mind, to manage our affair. By analogy, the false thinking mind is like a blind man, and the true mind is like a man who sees. So this is the analogy. But the better analogy is, it's not a blind man. This true mind is This true mind is silent, anasana. It cannot come out and live, anasana. It's not a person, it's not a being, understand? And you must understand that. Whereas the condition arising mind, yeah, that one you deludedly grasp and cling and believe is you. But that one is impermanent, lead to suffering. It arises and it passes away. That's why it's not a permanent and changing entity. It's not you, not me. Empty, non-self. Yeah. That's why it's karmically conditioned for you to use. It's your tool. It is not you. Understand? Whereas that true nature, it is part of the form and mind connected. It's like your karmic nature. This one is your spiritual nature. And this nature, you can also perfect it. Understand? Can follow that? Yeah? Just like your karmic nature, everything that you do with your conscious mind, with your mental intention, it will lead to karmic. That's why the karmic nature is a summation of all your moment-to-moment of thought process. Means all of your mental intention that you arise from moment to moment, the summation of all those, including all of the segmented life, then they become your karmic nature. Then the Buddha say you are born of it, head to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. That one, the it, or you, is referring to the five aggregate of form and mind, this so-called human being, and that's not karmically conditioned out. But this is not you, that's not. So you have to understand that the two are different. Yeah. So here, the analogy given is not so precise. Huh? Mm. Is it by analogy, the false thinking mind is like the blind man and the true mind is like the one who can see. It's not really like that. Yeah. The false thinking mind or condition arising mind is actually the one that has security, self-delusion, that has ignorance. Because of delusion, the nature get covered up by what? By your false thinking, by your heedlessness, by your delusion, by your five hindrance. You lack the spiritual faculty, that's why you cannot connect to that true mind. So that five aggregate of form and mind, if you don't have this delusion, then it develops the understanding and the wisdom, then the mind will understand what this is, then it will cease to be, then it will connect. So it's just like that. So it's not like a blind man and a person who can see. No. Both the mind also can see. The mundane mind also can see. But that is mundane seeing. Whereas the true mind, direct seeing, not mundane seeing. So the analogy here is not so precise. Then there is another part that last time I remember Master Shenhua used to say. This one is very meaningful. He used to say, it's so long ago, I also cannot recall. It's something like that. Fo jiu shi xing, xing jiu shi fo, wu hui xing, wu hui fo. You can understand that. He said, Buddha is mind, mind is Buddha. You cannot understand the mind, you cannot understand the Buddha. Because Buddha is what? Buddha is a word, understand? A concept, understand? So this one, is what the mind is all about. The mind will label it Buddha. But the Buddha is not that Buddha, understand that word. The Buddha is the embodiment of his perfection of wisdom and virtue. That's why for jiu shi xing, xing jiu shi fo. So this one refer to the mundane mind. Mundane mind. But the true mind is different. When you don't understand the mind, you don't understand the Buddha. Means you have to penetrate that mind.
Then when you realize the true mind, then you realize the Buddha nature. Then it's completely different. That's why when we talk about Buddha, is the mundane. Because the Buddha is the five degree of form and mind, that the Buddha take the segmented form and mind that perform the function of a Buddha. That's why that one is called the functional body, or they call it the Nivanakaya. Nimanakaya, that perform the function of a Buddha. That is the first body, Nimanakaya. Then you got the spiritual perfection, Sambhogayakaya. So underneath the Bodhi tree, at that moment where he become fully enlightened, the Sambhogaya, the spiritual body, which has all the 10 perfection, because it's connected, he inherited them. Zok, it come in. So Sambhogayakaya combined with Nimanakaya becomes the Dhammakaya. Understand? That's why the three bodies of the Buddha. You can follow the three bodies? The first one is the functional body, Nimanakaya. Then the spiritual perfection body. The moment it connect, it inherit, then this Sambhogayakaya come in. Then he has this understanding of his perfection and wisdom. Then this one become the Dhammakaya, that speaks the Dhamma. That's like the three body of the Buddha, the Trikaya. So like this body, this form of mind, this life, you call Brother Teo. This one is my functional body that perform the function of this nature. Then when I connect in the year 89, the spiritual understanding, my inheritance, all my cultivation from the past, it all come back. Then this one goes into this one. Then this form of mind speaks the Dhamma, shares the Dhamma. You can call this the Dhammakaya, but it's not the Sammasambuddha Dhammakaya. It's just one of the great beings, Dhammakaya. So this one is the final one that speaks the Dhamma. But you can only speak the Dhamma when you inherit and connect. Otherwise you cannot. That's why I told many of you all, the thing that I understand this life, I never learned them this life. You ask me how I know. I don't know. Yeah, I never learned this life. But my nature know. And my nature know is like that. You can cultivate like that and do all these things like that. Then you can understand the teaching. You ask me how, I don't know. I also English educator, but all the Mahayana teaching I understand. So how you explain all this? It's very difficult. The mundane mind cannot understand. Thought cannot understand. That's why you have to cultivate. You have to awaken, realize. And then after that, no words. You understand. And when you understand, there is no more question. Everything is the way it is. So beautiful. So meaningful. Okay? 10:33. So maybe we stop here. You go back and read the rest. I understand some of you are going to India. 18 of them. This Friday. Friday, is it? Your flight? Friday morning. 14. Then the other four from Thailand side. Joyce say you got 18, isn't it? You told me. Oh, not 18. Last time you told me. Oh, Anandagiri. So India trip 14. Okay. So Thursday we had a session at Pomasuri's house. So those who are going to India, you want, Bia Pamasuri invited me there, Bia Tan Siong Sifu will be there. Then she may want to shave or ordain when she's there. Then she wants me to share a little bit about this significance of ordination. Then also maybe to give you all some advice on how you all can prepare yourself for this type of spiritual trip. So those who are interested, you can also join us. It's the usual Thursday class. Okay. If you got any question, maybe we can take one. Anybody got any question? Maybe too late. We will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, we will end the session. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itāvata cāmehi sampadān puñña sampadān sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiyā. May all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired and may all devas rejoice and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed ones and those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish but only the wise and the enlightened one until nibbana is realized. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Trupa Jema. Then we end. Buddhang pujimi. Dhammang pujimi. Sanghang pujimi.